Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Sunshine comes and sunshine goes, the shadows linger. Darkness fills the night with mystery and care. But within my heart, a gentle voice reminds me, fear no evil, Jesus said, for I'll be there. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't need to ever ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. For I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Billows rise within the heart of every man. Storms so many times will leave the heart with questions that you don't need to understand. Just hold his hand. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't need to ever ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. For I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand.
Thanks, Ray. Well, let's get right into the Word. Well, here we are, the third week of 2012. We have been talking about Shalom, the peace of God, Jehovah Shalom, or we could say the God of peace. Ray, did you know most people know that the Hebrew word Shalom is understood around the world to mean peace? However, peace is only one small part of the meaning. Shalom is used to both greet people and to bid them farewell. And it means much more than peace, hello, or goodbye. However, the Hebrew words go beyond their spoken pronunciation. Each Hebrew word conveys feeling, intent, and emotion. So shalom is more than just simply peace. It is a complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony.
Well, Pam, what else did you find out about this Hebrew word that means peace?
Well, Ray, according to Strong's Concordance, if you look it up, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Shalom comes from the root word that means to be complete, perfect, and full. Of course, there is only one way to find true shalom, and that is in the Word of Yahweh.
Hey, that's right, Pam. Many search for fulfillment, happiness, and contentment in material possessions, even in money and sex and entertainment, etc. But those things do nothing to fill that little hole in our soul that only God can fill. Those things only serve to distract and prevent us from finding the true peace. the shalom that can come only from Him who created and put all things into place.
Okay, that brings us back to where we left off last week. We were talking about the seven thieves that can steal our peace. These seven things are, number one, external circumstances in disarray and out of control. Number two is an imagination that runs wild. And number three is failure to be filled with the Spirit. Number four is relationships that are broken. And number five, and it is when you are not in the will of God, you can lose your peace.
Amen.
Number six is, how about when peace leaves? Well, check to see if God wants to reveal something. And number seven, there is no peace when there is sin in your life.
Okay, let's get started with the first one. What do we do when the circumstances of our life are out of control and our peace is stolen? Well, let's look at the condition of Jesus' disciples shortly after his death. In John 20, we find the disciples are hiding. They're fearful, much like Gideon was in Judges 6. So let's think about it. Their master's dead, and with his death it appears, notice I said it appears, all hope for their fledgling movement has vanished. These external circumstances were out of their control. Into this fearful situation comes Jehovah Shalom. And what did Jesus say to this fearful band? John 20, 19 through 21. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You see, when our external circumstances are out of control, out of our control, we need to remember that God's peace is not found in external things, but in the presence of Jesus, our Jehovah Shalom. So when these circumstances come and everything looks like it's falling apart, cry out to Jehovah Shalom, asking Him to be with you, and then give thanks for His presence and His promises.
Hebrews 13:5-6 tells us, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because Jesus has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can men do to me?'" Look at the last part of that verse in the Amplified. "For He, God Himself, has said, 'I will not in any way fail you, nor give up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you.' Assuredly not."
See, the disciples thought Jesus had left them. They were frightened, but Jesus was there. He had told them He would be resurrected, but they had not fully understood and appropriated this truth. He was their peace in the face of insurmountable odds and an overpowering enemy. Even so, He's our source of peace.
Well, now let's go on and look at number two, the imagination that runs wild. First of all, we need to understand that imagination is anything that is not absolute fact. What do you do when anxiety-producing thoughts come?
We do what we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:3-6. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, mighty, but they're mighty in God, for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled."
Good, Ray, because according to this scripture, we have the weapons needed to destroy speculations.
Amen, the weapons.
Like, your husband doesn't come on
high. We got him.
You begin to imagine certain things. Your child doesn't come home on time or doesn't call, and you begin to imagine he's been run over or he's been kidnapped, he's lost, etc. If you don't bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, it just brings torment. So how do we do this, you ask me? Well, you bring these speculations and wild imaginations to the Lord, and I like to say Philippians 4:8 them. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever Amen. Things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. So if your thoughts are not meeting these requirements, then refuse to dwell upon them. And let verses 6 and 7 of that same chapter be true in your life, and you will have peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus.
You see, Pam, the phrase, be anxious for nothing. This means literally just to stop being anxious.
That's right.
And you ask, well, how? The Word of God says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In this verse, the word for prayer is a Greek word meaning to look at the character of God, at God as He is, His names, His attributes, which is why we are to come with thanksgiving. Wow.
And the term supplication means to make specific request. So when our imagination wants to run wild, threatening to tear our minds apart with worry, our first action ought to be to get along with God and worship and adore Him, focusing on His greatness and majesty. It is amazing how the anxieties and problems begin to take on a different perspective when we realize the LLO is in control.
Amen.
And can handle our problems.
Praise God.
We want to rush into the Holy of Holies, quickly
yes.
tell Him what we need, when we should come before Him with an attitude of praise and worship. You know, Warren Worsby commented that Paul counsels us to take everything to God in prayer. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Interestingly, we are prone to pray about the big things in life and forget to pray about the little things until they grow and become big things.
Big things, yeah.
Talking to God about everything that concerns us is the first step toward victory over worry.
You see, the peace of God stands guard over the two areas that create worry. The heart, wrong feeling. And the mind, wrong thinking.
That's good.
When we give our hearts to Christ, we experience peace with God. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Uh-oh.
And patience experience.
Amen.
And experience hope.
Amen.
And hope maketh not ashamed. Because, see, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The peace of God even takes us a step farther into His blessings. This does not mean the absence of trials on the outside, but it does mean a quiet confidence within. Regardless of circumstances, people are things.
That's right. Let's look at Daniel as our example. As you read in Daniel 6, 1 through 10, it tells us the story. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom.
Amen.
With three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss.
Yes.
Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom.
Over all of it.
At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, those men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God."
Come on.
So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before.
Hold on, Pam. Let's take notice of the order of things that took place. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving.
Amen.
The results being perfect peace in the midst of difficulty. Daniel was able to spend that night with the lions in perfect peace, while the king in his palace, he could not sleep.
That's right, Ray, because if you read the rest of the story, Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, and then the king, in verse 18, returns to his palace and spent the night without eating and any entertainment brought to him, and he could not sleep.
No, he couldn't.
Offering thanks means that you trust him in whatever the circumstances you may find yourself. Therefore, the peace, independent of tumultuous circumstances, will be like a guard stationed at the post to keep intruders from entering your heart and your mind in Christ. Therefore, you are in a panic,
yes,
anxiety virtually freezing you, and you cry out to him, and he himself sets a guard over you in Christ Jesus. You're Jehovah Shalom, standing guard over the racing, anxious thoughts trying to penetrate your heart and mind, trying to penetrate that is important and dear to you.
Amen. Well, let's look at Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast mind that will keep him in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. For the God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock, a rock of ages.
Amen.
Wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling, and before long, the heart and mind are pulled apart and we are strangled by worry. We've got to realize that thoughts are real. They're powerful, even though they cannot be seen, weighed, or measured. We must be doing what 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to do. Which is what, Pam?
Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing or taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Which would mean, if you was to look that term up, under, it means here under, which would convey the picture of listening and submitting to that which is heard.
Amen.
And it involves a change of the attitude of the hearer.
Okay.
Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny.
We could say that the term, the mind stayed on thee, found in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. It parallels with Philippians 4:8-9, showing that you trust God to be who he is. Philippians 4:8-9, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here are some statistics. Dr. Walter Cavert reported in a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were actually legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which the people had no control anyway. Satan is the liar.
That's true.
John 8:44 says he wants to corrupt our minds with his lies. 2 Corinthians 11:3, yea, hath God said, is the way he approaches us, just as he approached Eve in the garden. Genesis 3 and 11. You see, the Holy Spirit controls our minds through truth, according to John 17 and 17. 1 John 5 and 6. Here's what it means. The devil here tries to do what? He tries to control us through lies. Whatever we believe, whenever we believe that lie, then Satan's going to take over.
You know, Ray, that's good. And so that's why we've got to take control of our mind through Christ that our imaginations don't run wild.
We can do all things.
The third thief that can steal our peace would be failure to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Because it tells us in Ephesians 5, 18 and 21, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. An abandoned, dissolute life portrays utter recklessness and expenditures on part of those who have lost self-control. But be filled, continually controlled by, permeated with the Spirit. Note what a person controlled by the Spirit looks like. It tells us in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject continually to one another in the fear of Christ. You know, Raymond, both wine and the Holy Spirit do their work deep in the human psyche.
Yes.
They affect people below the level of consciousness down at the foundation of their very personality.
Amen.
The Spirit is not merely with God's people, but it's in them. It is God's will that He control us and empower us. Thus, God commands believers to be filled with His Spirit. It is a gift that He gives to willing vessels who ask in faith.
The ideal of being filled conveys the following thoughts. Being filled was often used of the wind filling a sail and thereby carrying the ship along. To be filled with the Spirit is to be moved along in our Christian life by the direction of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
The second thing about being filled means that it also carries the thought of permeation and was used of salts permeating mead in order to flavor and preserve it.
Amen.
God wants the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to so permeate the lives of His children that everything they think, say, and do will reflect His divine presence.
And third, being filled also has the connotation of total control.
Wow.
The person who's filled with, for example, sorrow and fear and anger, faith, or even Satan is no longer under his own control, but under the total control of that which dominates him.
Mama.
To be filled in this sense is to be totally dominated and controlled, and is the most important sense for believers. To be filled with the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 5 and 18, is not to have Him somehow progressively added to our life until we are full of Him. It is to be under His total domination and control. The
Amen.
Wonderful fact that you cannot be filled with and controlled by both fear and Spirit at the same time. I hope you get that. You cannot be controlled by both fear and the Holy Spirit at the same time.
That's right, Ray. And the good news is God's Word tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Or in the Amplified, it says self-discipline.
Amen.
The fourth thief that could steal your peace is relationships that have been broken.
Amen.
Let's look at Colossians 3, 12 through 16. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice here, Raymond, that in verse 15, it tells us to let the peace of God rule in your heart. If you look at the Greek word rule, it's the ideal to be like an umpire.
Yeah.
Many use this verse for making decisions, and that is a possible application of the verse. However, from the content, Paul is instructing the saints at Colossae that if there is any conflict, unforgiveness, bitterness, etc., they were to let God's peace rule in their heart. Because it tells us in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers.
We need to let God's peace be the umpire. Don't say, I'm going to give them what they deserve.
Or
when they get right with me, then I'm going to get right with them, etc. Why not? Because that is not letting the peace rule in your hearts. But in fact, it is letting sin reign in your mortal body. And it's presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. As it tells us in Romans 6, 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But let's yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I like it the way it reads in the Message Bible.
That's right.
That means
right.
You must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give at the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. You cannot serve two masters. Broken relationships and a desire to get even will steal your peace. But as we are told in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The Greek word for blessed describes those who are in the world, yet independent peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5, 11 and 12.
Well, you know, so blessed are you does not mean untroubled are you, or healthy are you, or admired are you, or prosperous are you. It means between you and God, all is well. You are deeply secure, profoundly content, happy in God. I like the way the Amplified brings out blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions. So let's not let broken relationships steal this blessed state of peace and contentment, which are independent on the circumstances.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at victoryinliving, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries, again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
Well, I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand.